Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, September the 6th, 2024. And we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 44, the fourth paragraph. It's a mere code of morals. We're reading through that one paragraph, ending with, they failed utterly. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Tenzin P, the 12 traditions, Sue M, and readers of the text, Marge O, Anne Marie M, and Chanel T. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, September the 5th, 7 a.m. meeting, 21719, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 21720. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Tenzin P. is going to read the 12. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thank you, Tenzin P. And Sue M. is going to be reading the traditions for us. Good morning, Sue.
Morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Sue M., a compulsive overeater in Ohio. 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he expresses himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We'd always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and public other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Sue M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics, page 44, the fourth paragraph. It's a mere code of morals. Reading through that one paragraph ending with they failed utterly, and we're sharing on that. Marjo, would you get us started this morning, please?
Good morning, Lynn, and all that are listening. Thank you. Marge O., recovered in Walpole, Massachusetts, and very grateful. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. So this whole chapter is so important to so many people, including myself. I didn't think of myself as agnostic, but I certainly felt that God wasn't having anything to do with my food plan or the way that I ate. And speaking of failing miserably, it just seemed as though I wasn't such a great moral character either. And I learned that through doing my step work. Although I was cash register honest, I couldn't be honest about things such as how much did I eat, when did I eat, how much did I weigh, and how many different diets did I try over the years. And I think probably when I started dieting, which was at a very young age, because I always had difficulty with food, although I didn't view it that way. I just viewed it that I enjoyed food, that I liked food, But I isolated with food, and I used it that way often, too, to take something really scrumptious that I thought was scrumptious and take it away from the house and go sit somewhere and eat it by myself and stay away from people. Because I had difficulty with that, and I had difficulty with how, quote, the normal eaters ate. And I did, as time went on, notice I didn't do much normal eating at all. The food was just important. It was a solace. It was a way for me to feel a little better. And that unsatiated feeling that no matter what I ate, I was always kind of looking for something else. And even though I was, quote, a churchgoer and all of that, that didn't seem to wash with me. I just didn't see how that could be a part of this. But coming here and learning to work the steps, that is where the moral being came into being, is that learning more and more about myself and the way to live and how to give to other people. I didn't know how to do that. And all about that self-seeking and the way that I was a people pleaser and all the things that I did, trying to make sure everybody liked me, and learning that that didn't do a thing either, that I had to find my own way, but I had to find it through OA, through the 12 steps, and doing that daily work, which is all part of my recovery. And if I slack off, I feel it. I feel the pull, so that I don't feel good about myself, and that I have to stop being quite so selfish and reach out to others, do the calls, do the willing things a day at a time, including for me, is to stay in touch with my higher power, finding out that there was something bigger and better than me and my ideas, that's the way I want to live today, a day at a time. And with that, I will pass. And thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Marjo, for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Sarah T. from New York.
Okay, I heard Lisa B. and I heard somebody T. from New York. Who was that, please?
Sarah G. from New York.
Janet B.
First name? Thank you. Could you say your first name again, the T lady?
Sarah.
Sarah, sorry, I didn't get that. Okay, I've got Lisa, Sarah, and Janet. Who else?
Miss
E, UK.
Okay, I heard Liz from the UK. There were two other people.
Nadia E.
Patio.
Okay, let me tell you who I've got. And we've got our lineup for this morning's first go-round. I've got Lisa B., Sarah T., Janet B., Liz E., Nadia E., Patio, and Loretta H. So Lisa B., would you like to go ahead, please, followed by Sarah T.? Good morning, Lisa with an E.
Yeah. Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service and for everyone that's doing service. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. This is a wonderful paragraph, a wonderful reading, and the share was spot on for me. When the person was reading the 12 steps this morning, what really jumped out for me and the way I related it to the paragraph is the exact nature of my wrongs, you know, and we're one chapter before how it works. And I was thinking about how my human resources marshaled by the will, they're just not sufficient. And that my code of morals before getting recovered was my human power. And, you know, recovered meaning the symptoms of my disease are gone. I'm not cured, but my symptoms are in remission. But I still have that issue, that sticking issue of my mind. And I can still fall back into oftentimes I rely on myself. I think I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to understand this so I can solve it, and I'm going to determine, you know, but it's saying that our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. I love that word, utterly, utterly, completely, at depth, at the very core of my being. And often that usually is accompanied by pain for me, because when the pain starts to come up, the emotional, the mental, the anguish, the spiritual pain, that means for me that I am in human resource mode. I'm in that self mode. And I was thinking about how whenever I act on self, I'm going to cause harm to myself and to others. And that's the other reason that the pain is there. But I wanted so desperately to be a better person, to be a patient, tolerant, kind person. I really tried through prayer and meditation and spirituality, and all those things are wonderful, but I did it without OA and without the 12 steps, and of course without entire abstinence, without understanding, you know, what this disease and who and what I really am. Combined the two through the 12 steps, it's amazing. It's an amazing combination. So I'm so grateful today to have this program, but often I have to get reminded that I don't have the power to figure things out and do things. I mean, yes, I have a mind. God has given me a brain, and I do get intuitive guidance. But it's always through reliance on the 12 steps, God, always, the fellows, prayer, meditation, and the spiritual principles. So I'm a remade person, and sometimes I have to go through being remade, you know, on a few times a day. But I'm so grateful for abstinence and recovery. So thank you so much. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And where are you from, please?
Hi, this is Sarah G, G as in girl, from New York. I'm so grateful to be here. My process has been that I could be, you know, I can be abstinent, I can be committed to calling my sponsor and, you know, doing the readings, listening to different meetings. But if I stop at that and I don't stay spiritually fit with, you know, making outreach calls, doing 10th steps, then I lose what the program is asking for, and I lose the spiritual experience. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah G from New York. Next, we have Janet B, followed by Liz E. Good morning, Janet.
Hey, good morning, Lynn. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B, recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So the top of page 45, it says that these codes and philosophies didn't save us, right? I needed to be rescued. I didn't just need like a good diet, a good food plan. I needed to be rescued, like I was in quicksand or an undertow. I couldn't save myself, right? No matter how much I tried. And they go on and they say the needed power wasn't there. And then finally, our book starts talking about power. The power to save myself wasn't there. And then in the next paragraph, it tells me exactly what my problem is. Not lack of desire, which people used to say about me when I spent my first 6 years in OA binging, that I didn't have the desire. Not lack of a good moral code, not lack of a good food plan, but lack of power. That was my problem. And it tells me, you know, now they're talking power, small p. I need to find a power by which I could live. But then they switch to a capital P. It has to be a power greater than myself. They say, okay, but now I'm sunk. Like, how am I going to find this power? It would be like, how am I going to find spiritual electricity? And then they go on and they tell us, that's exactly the purpose of this book, its main object. So the number one purpose of our book, it says, is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And this chapter is called We Agnostics. So I'm sure there's people saying, okay, how could there be this power that's going to solve my problem? But right in that sentence, it gives us four clues about this power. If this power, so it's capital P, so it's talking about God, is going to solve my problem, then this power must have a consciousness and be able to think. This power must be smart, because I have two master's degrees and I couldn't think my way out of this. this power must be strong because this illness was stronger than me. So this power has to be stronger than this illness. And for me, most important, if this power is going to solve my problem, this power must love me. So we've got a power that's smart, strong, and loves us. And so that's how we can access this needed power. Of course, my moral codes didn't work. Like, let's even take the Ten Commandments. I couldn't even do that because I wasn't surrendered to this power. But a power who's smart, strong, and loves me, that's a power I can surrender my life to, and that's a power that will remove my food obsession. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Liz E. from the UK, followed by Nadia. Liz?
Good morning. Liz E. for Elegant from Bristol in Southwest England. Thank you, everybody, for your service today. Just so, so grateful to be on the line. Just to encourage anybody, press star one if you haven't done it or you're thinking of doing it. I don't really know what I'm going to say. I never do. I'm feeling a bit discombobulated today, so I just knew I had to show up and open my mouth. Because today, for me, every day is day one. Yeah, if it was just a code of morals and ethics, gosh, you know, I tried everything before I found recovery. Everything. I just didn't ever understand what my problem is. And I tried it with all my might, you know, I even worked as, you know, teaching mothers how to, you know, as a nurse, how to eat healthily in pregnancy and afterwards, etc., and what young kids should eat. So, you know, I did studies and I worked with dietitians. So I had all of that information and I applied it with so much might, and the energy that I would put into it and going to the weight loss classes, etc. But I never knew that I was lacking a power until I found these rooms. I just didn't know that. But today I know that. And I know that however much I exert myself, and I can exert myself a lot, and, you know, and it's kind of good for me to reflect on that today, because I've been overexerting my will in the last few days on various aspects in my life, and I'm feeling very uncomfortable today. But what is amazing is that I have this program. I've been doing a lot of outreach, step 10s this morning, and I can notice a name that I have, you know, been exerting my will, because I believe that if I did a bit more of my will, that would make my life would be better. And guess what? This paragraph is so timely for me. My human resources as marshaled by the will are not sufficient. I need to hear that today. I so need to hear that today, that I need to move from self-will into God's will. And thank you for letting me share, and thank you for letting me realize that by speaking out loud. Thanks a million. Have a beautiful day. I pass.
Thank you, Lizzie from the UK. And next we have Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada, followed by Patty O. Hi, Nadia. Nadia, press star one to unmute, please. Okay, we're not hearing Nadia E. Let's try Patty O. We'll come back to Nadia. Are you there, Patty O?
Hi, it's Patty O in Florida.
Hi, please go ahead.
Oh, I'm sharing. Don't want to share, but I'm sharing. My mind is all over the place, but what I got from the reading and the first speaker and all the speakers since is that my moral code that I started to learn when I was a child in my mother's and father's home It was a great home, very supportive, loving, and nurturing. But what as I grew, I started to notice that what they were preaching and trying to teach me, the good moral code, wasn't what they were living. And that has been my experience since, that, you know, in any 12-step I go to, what I hear at the meeting is not what I hear at the coffee pot. In other words, the life they're living outside the meeting room doesn't reflect. And you know what? That's true for me, too. September 13th, I'll have 1 year of abstinence. And for me, and contented abstinence. And the reason I think it is because I decided at the beginning to be honest, even though it's scary for me to be honest, because I know I'm not going to keep what I have or I'm not going to get what I want. But I tried it. And I believe that honestly looking inside myself and what do I feel? I went to Catholic school and I professed to believe in the God that they taught me about in Catholic school. And the honest truth is I'm struggling with that concept, that God. But I've been okay because I hear all you share, or a lot of you share, that you have the same struggle and confusion. But I had to be honest in order to hear your message. And so I've been abstinent. I've been content in my abstinence. And I believe it's because it all started with honesty. I guess that's all. I can't think of what's the next thing to say. So I hope you all have a really nice day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty O from Florida. Next, we have Loretta H, followed by Nadia E. Good morning, Loretta. Loretta, please press star
good
1.
Good morning. Thank you, Lynn, and thank you all, along with my precious God. You do save my life. Welcome to the newcomers. This is exactly why I'm here. I'm above human aid, and I know that. And I know I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I know that I'm hopeless. But that little dash in step one, because we're in step two now, that little dash in step one means that I am hopeless, 100% hopeless, but I am not helpless. And because my thinking is what gets me in trouble most of the time, because I want to control. I was a good girl, but I was a good girl for the very wrong, so that I wouldn't lose something, so that I would get what I want, or so that I would not be found out. And that was really most of the key to it, the fraud, because I'm anorexic. Of course it doesn't show, but the mind was sick. And until I understood that something bigger than me, and I call it God today, was the one in charge, and that his direction and correction is what I have to follow. I call my third step my trust fund, because when my thinking is turned over to his care and my actions, which is my living, is turned over to his care, my life isn't perfect, but it can be managed. And if my life is unmanageable, but it can be managed with the steps. And that's how I get better. Is working. I actually go through the steps every time a sponsee goes through them. Or I call them protégés because they're on equal footing with me. So again, above human aid. And I'm so grateful I know that today, because that's the altruistic person in me, and that's who God wants me to be. So today, as somebody shared, and the shares were fabulous, today I listen to the big power, not the little power, who wants to say, selfish thing, be in control, and do all the things that are going to hurt other people mostly, but then they're going to boomerang and hurt me. So today I know God, and I know peace, and so I won't take a piece out of somebody else or, as I share, out of myself, because I am an anorexic. And with that, I pass. God bless everybody, and happy
Loretta,
weekend. Bye.
Where are you from, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, sweet. North Carolina.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Okay, we're going to try Nadia E. again from Toronto, Canada. Hi, Nadia.
Good morning. Hi, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto. And yeah, I had to just shut it down and come back into the line. So I surrender. I surrender technical difficulties today, and I'm grateful that we have this amazing meeting. And thank you, Lynn, and thank you, Team Friday. And I'm so grateful that I have a higher power, because if I didn't get this connection when I did, like almost 30 years ago, I wouldn't be here today. Like I would just be like the walking dead, and I don't want to be the walking dead. I want to thrive. I want, like, each day has to be a miracle, and it is. If I invite my higher power into everything that I do and everything I say. But you know, I'm realizing that I thought I was so honest, but I have to be honest with myself and not just brush things off, because when I experience a sensation, a feeling that is so strong, I need to share that. I need to bring it to the light and say, why am I so angry? Like, why am I just, like, almost to the point where I was going to throw up yesterday, that the anger just gripped me. And what do I do with that? I can't just carry it on, because it's going to affect, you know, the rest of, like, my interactions with that person. And it won't be, it'll just be, it won't be a deep relationship. So that's what I need. And I can't do it. I cannot do it. So I need to get on my knees and say, okay, God, show me how to be honest. To just say how that behavior of that person affected me. And it's not blaming the other person. It's just letting them know that that's how it affects me. And I'm powerless over how I feel. But anyway, so like, I'm also so grateful for my abstinence. You know, it's evolved over the years, and I have to keep going to my higher power and saying, like, what do I need to nourish my body with what it needs, and direct me, and to just shut up and not want to eat what I think I should eat, because God knows what this body, this 60 plus year old body needs. It's not what I need when I was 20. Things are changing, right? So I don't know. So basically, I have to remember that I'm just a child. I know nothing. And my higher power fills me with what I need. Thanks, Lynn. And I love you guys. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Nadia E. from Toronto, Canada. For those of us who may have come on the line a little bit later this morning, we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 44. The fourth paragraph is a mere code of morals. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Anita
Robin B. in Costa Rica.
Okay, hang on a second. Okay, if we could stop just for a minute. I heard Costa Rica and I heard Shanna C, and that's all. It's Robin T, I believe, in Costa Rica.
Yes.
And it's Shannon C. Okay, hang on a moment, please. Shannon C. Okay, and then I heard Anita J. Who did I miss, please, who already said their name?
Anita J.
I'm sorry, I've got you, Anita. Thank you. Who else was that?
Alexis F.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you who I did here. Okay, there we go. I've got Robin P., Shanna C., Anita J., Alexis F., and Anne-Marie M. Did I miss anybody?
Annette F.
Thank you. All right. I've got our lineup right now. Let's see how we do. So Robin P. from Costa Rica, please go ahead, followed by Shanna C. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Santa Teresa, Costa Rica. And, I tried. So my human resources, boy, wow, I tried everything. If my human will could have been sufficient, it would have been sufficient. I just I've done a lot of things in my life, and I started on Broadway when I was young. I invented products and brought them to market. I've done a lot of things, but I couldn't get and stay abstinent. My human will just failed me utterly, and so many days, I was just literally over and over again. It was like Russian roulette. This time, okay, now I'm going to this will work. It was such insanity, that definition of insanity, doing that same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result and never getting it, and always being so shocked and dismayed and terrified. Oh, no, it's working. And when I came into this program, I did not believe in a power greater than myself. Raised atheist, and I was also, when I saw God on the walls when I went to the Moravian Church in New York City, so many years ago, I thought, oh no, I need help, but I can't do this. And somebody there just said, just any power greater than your God, which is food, which has failed you. And so just any acting as if that you believe in any power greater. It could be a tree. It can be anything. Just let yourself build that muscle of believing in a power greater than food. And so I did that. And this was my bridge to God. And because of that, I had a profound spiritual awakening that led me to the God of my understanding today, for whom I'm eternally grateful, of course. And this program brought me that relationship. And this program, for the past 8.5 years, food has not been my God. God's been my God. And you've all been my team, and I get to be part of your team. And I'm so grateful. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day and weekend, and I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Next, we have Shanna C., followed by Anita J. And where are you calling from, Shanna, please?
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. And glad to be on the line and grateful for the shares and grateful for this topic. And one of the things that really came up for me in this paragraph is I'm reminded, that mere code of morals, I used to nana-poo, religious people and oh, well, that didn't work for me. And then, I have this attitude toward, people who were attempting to live this way. And what it was just resentful that I didn't feel like I was good enough for God. When the truth of the matter is that in code of morals, I always wanted to be a better person, always wanted to, live by this code of morals that especially like these religious people were saying and were offering. But the purpose of that code of morals was actually to show me how powerless I was. and how much I needed the power greater than me. It wasn't that I could live on my own and do this stuff. It's like these are the you know, requirements to be a good person. What it did is just show me that I couldn't. That was the purpose. So the code of morals served a purpose. My problem is that I try to use things that have no power as a power source. That's where the insanity is. And so once the food is down, I start seeing all these faulty emotional dependencies that come up and all the things that I try to use to gain power. And, you know, going through the steps and living this thing in 10, 11, and 12 is a constant uncovering, discovering, and discarding things that have no power. And so life is whittled down, at least for me, and I'm constantly directed back to the source of power for me, which is the God of my understanding that I found that keeps me abstinent and sober and safe and protected and aware of my distorted thinking when it crops up. And I don't have to act on that stuff anymore, and there are actions that I can take. And I tell you, I'll finish with this. There are times where I'm just like, I don't know if God hears me or not, because I get so jumbled up in my feelings and emotions at times, but I'm so grateful that there are clear, concise directions that I can follow that literally is like climbing out of a burning building with smoke over my head, and those taking those directions, me staying below the smoke so that I can, you know, use that way out and help others. So anyway, I'm grateful to be here, grateful it's Friday, grateful I don't have to live by my emotions and stuff anymore. There are directions I can take and people, you know, And then that can be useful, even good times and bad. All right, that's it. Thank you. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Shanna C. Now we have Anita J. followed by Alexa F. Hi, Anita.
Hello there. I'm very grateful that you heard me, and I'm grateful to be abstinent and clean for 2 full weeks. When I took my eyes off the prize for a moment, I was bested by a candle that had frosting on it. My God is bigger than that. I didn't take it to him. I did this. I must have marshaled my will. Well, I thought I learned that decades ago in here. But you see, learning it and remembering it and following through, that's a lot of steps. I can't do it on my own. I have to have that God. And he hadn't left. He watched. He was at that birthday table watching, oh, you know, everybody. And I don't know, I once saw a picture of my higher power that he had a tear coming down his eye. And, you know, I know that he doesn't take joy when we forget him. But I'm so grateful that that small thing that I did in terms of my whole life served as a reminder that you can do zilch, kiddo, without your higher power. You can act as if, but that was never sufficient. It's such a strain to act as if, because I would be, when I got home, thrilled to just relax. It's almost like the days when you got out of your girdle, if anyone remembers what those were, and let it all hang out, literally. And anyway, I'm just very grateful. And this is the perfect chapter for me this week, you know, at this time in my life again. And thank you all. I don't know what I would do without this meeting. And I don't have to worry because it's here. And with that, I pass.
And where are you from, Anita, please?
Oh, I'm in west of Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks a lot.
Okay, that's Anita J. from Boston, Massachusetts. Next up, we have Alexa F., followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Alexa.
Good morning. This is Alexa F. from New Jersey, East Coast. When I was first married to my first husband, on a Sunday I was getting my stockings on and getting ready to go to church, and he said, oh, no, no, no. this family doesn't go to church. We don't go to that place. They only want money. So I had gone to church with them every Sunday when we were dating, and I was very surprised. So I gave up my God for him, my higher power, and he became my higher power. And I did a lot of things that I would normally have not done. But he was a very controlling man. And I had a friend, a very good friend, who came over, and she said, don't you ever pray? Because I was going downhill. And it just struck me, you know, like, my God, I've given up on God for 10 years. And I started praying again. I entered OA in 1976. And I've been in it for 49 years. And I finally started, my brother was in the seminary, so he taught us all to meditate. And I certainly knew how to pray. I went all through Catholic school. So, I went back to praying and meditating. But my weight, when it did get out of control, I gained 60 pounds in 60 days. And it yo-yoed and fluctuated ever since then. So, but he always protected me. I've been in places like, you know, Phantom of the Opera type places. And, he's always protected me and kept me safe and secure. And for that, I'm very grateful. He's never let me down. He's always been there. And as I pray, the more I pray, the more I look back and see how much my prayers have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis F. Next up, we have Anne Marie M., followed by Annette. Good morning, Anne Marie, and where are you calling from, please?
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you so much for, you know, moderating our meeting. This is Anne Marie M. I am in South Carolina, and I am gratefully recovered by God's grace and by working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, so very grateful. You know, this is one of the chapter, as I've heard others say, I thought I probably didn't need to read this one because, you know, I had a God, but my God, I didn't treat my God very well, and he still loved me anyway. How about that? But I read something this morning, and it said, felt, because I didn't think I was agnostic, because like I said, I believed in God. I believed in God. But what I read this morning said self-sufficiency is subtle, insinuating its way into your thoughts and actions without you realizing it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that sounds like the disease. You know, our disease that, you know, we have these thoughts that don't enter our mind. Well, self-sufficiency is like that for me when I think that do it on my own. So at that point, I am agnostic. So I have some agnostic traits in me. Even though I do have a God, I've always had a God, I didn't realize that I can be agnostic. So maybe everybody else knows that. I'm just like waking up to that thought, but that just kind of woke me up with that. And then, I looked up a code of morals, a set of rules or guidelines that a person or group of people follow in order to live a good life. And yeah, my parents were good people, and you know, they taught me how to be kind and loving to others, and you know, and to not lie, and you know, someone mentioned the Ten Commandments, and I did that to the best of my ability. You know, I came up short with that, and then I thought, you know what, I'm on God's bad list. You know, I kind of dumped my religion and dumped the idea that God even loved me anymore, because I couldn't follow through with being perfect with these code of morals. And I have since learned by working the steps in this big book that God loves me no matter what. And I'm so grateful for that. And that I can depend on him. Not only that I can, but I need to. I can't be self-sufficient. I must be, I must rely on the God of my understanding, and I do that today, and I'm just so grateful for the relationship that I have with him. And that's all I'm going to say. Oh, perfect. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. from South Carolina. Annette F., it's your turn. Please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from, Annette. Good morning.
Good morning. This is, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. This is Annette F., and I am calling from Florida. And, when I think about coming into the program, I was first introduced to it, and the exact line was, don't worry about all the God stuff. Ignore all that. Just get the diet, because it worked. And so, therefore, there was nothing to really push back from. I didn't have to worry about the God stuff. I believed in a God, but I believed that God did not believe in me. And then, and I came in with my sister. And together I had a wonderful sponsor. I got the sponsor the same night of my first OA meeting. And she was a lovely sponsor. She was wonderful. But we didn't go through the book because I could never do it perfectly. So I had to start at day one all the time. And over the years, And that was really a long time ago. I got into, I moved from where I was and got into another state, and they paid attention to the steps and the big book. And I rediscovered God, and I knew that he was right by my side and helping me. And at some point, my sister died. And I managed through that, and then I got married to a wonderful man, and he got cancer and died on me. And I was still right there with God, abstinent, living a good life. And then he died, and I married again. Actually, my high school sweetheart, and he got cancer. And I thought, God just threw me under the bus. I was wrong. He didn't love me. And then I became a relief-seeking missile. It just wasn't enough food to make me feel okay. I mean, I was still a good person. I still didn't lie and cheat and do all of that, but it didn't seem to do me any good. And somebody introduced me to vision and paragraph by paragraph. What I started to realize is that God doesn't give us the pain, but he is there to help and comfort us through the pain, or me. He comforts me through the pain. And the closer I got to God, the better I felt. And now my husband is still sick, and it's 6 years later. And I can get into days where I just feel like, really, really? I invite him to lunch. He never shows. I like to have a little conversation. But today, with the help of vision and really going through the big book and following the steps. Thank you. I'm so much better. And when I don't follow the steps, those days don't go so well. So thank you. And I do appreciate everybody on this meeting. I pass.
Thank you, Annette F. from Florida. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Friday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, September the 6th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 21722. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Anne Marie M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give away freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and will surely meet some of you as you trudge and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until